Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to Janny's team reveal for Game Week 14. I am joined, of course, by the eponymous Janny. I don't know if I said that right, but Ichi, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm very well, mate. I'm delighted to be on for the second successive week with you. So we get a good. It's like old times. So I'm looking forward to a good 45-minute chat of FPL, but of what was a very good game week for me, which it doesn't always happen on these streams. And I think people enjoy viewing these when I've perhaps had a really bad game week. Maybe it's a tad more entertaining, but I promise to try and entertain off the back of a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's interesting when you either do exceptionally well, which I think you did pretty well this week, or when you do really badly. It's the mediocre ones that aren't interesting, you know?
Yeah, it so is. Yeah, people like extremes.
Yeah, exactly. We either want you to have done rubbish like me and I feel like I have a friend, or I want to learn from your genius and your experience and your man bunness.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can teach you much. I look at my team and we'll see it more in a minute, but I feel like there's not much I can change, but I don't think there's much many managers want to change at the moment. I feel like a lot of us are probably pretty happy and we're going, this is my team. Yeah. I'll see it through to the unlimited transfers. But I still think there will be nice little ways of getting edges in the next couple of weeks. And it might involve moving around some of those premiums.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to change my captain decision process, but that's a conversation for another day.
We need more than 45 minutes for that, mate.
Oh, dagger to the heart. Before we kick off properly then, we do just have a little word about Fantasy 5. I will hand over to you for this, Janny, to take it away.
Yeah, so Fantasy 5 have been sponsoring my team reveal vids, or a lot of them, for some time. It's a game, if you've not played it before, you pick five players, you get a chance of winning 10k if your players hit their totals. We'll look more about their totals later in the stream, where I'll be picking my five. As and I do it together, the idea is that we win the 10k, we have a lad's holiday to Vegas. It hasn't happened yet, but I did have a friend text me literally 2 days ago saying, why did I go Raya? And he got four of the five. So I was gutted for him. Because if you get four, you've done very, very well.
Is that like a sort of, you know, the old, was it Super 6 on Sky? Where you're like,
yeah,
it was five or five was good times. But four or five, if you were the best four or five, you still got something. Does that exist here?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it's all or nothing in terms of cash anyway.
Fair enough. Right, yeah. Well, let's move on to how you did last week. Let's get this out of the way, okay? So read your team out for us, and please do shout your points out, not just because I want to hear it again, but because we don't have it on the screen. I did run out of time there. So why don't you show off for us, Janny?
Yeah, so a whopping total of 82 points this game week, minus four, so let's go with 78. I had Ward in goal with eight. I had a back three of Zuma 15, Trippier 2, Cancelo 2. A midfield four of Martinelli, two, Andreas, 10, Foden with a single, Salah with two, Haaland, captain like everyone else, with 26, but Harry Kane with eight, yes please, Mitrovic with six. My bench includes Leon Bailey's 13 and Nico Williams' six, but I'm cool with that.
I mean, you were never playing Leon Bailey there, right? I don't know
you
who
say
you would have.
That. Okay. I was never playing Nico Williams, not in a month of Sundays. Like, of course, when you get bench points and they're big scores and you have no interest in ever playing that player in that fixture, it's fine. Leon Bailey, despite being my second sub, for a minute, I considered Leon Bailey over Andreas because I already had Fulham attack covered versus Leeds away. I love Andreas at the Cottage. Mm. Not a massive fan of Fulham away or Andreas away. And obviously Leon Bailey, I did think, new manager bounce. It's a home tie against Brentford. And I do love home advantage for the budget players. But no, I mean, Andreas got me 10, so I can't complain.
Yeah. And I mean, that's 3 points difference. So it's not much. You'd want both of them rather than either or.
Yeah.
Obviously, you captained Haaland. I can't remember what we talked about last week when we spoke about that, but I would imagine you were one of the many that were certain on that. I spoke to Andy Martin at the weekend as well, who was similarly certain on it. And I think you were outcome right, at least. I'll go with that. I won't fully admit it. But what was the thinking there? Was, you know, you always going there, or did you waver?
Yeah, we spoke this time last week, didn't I? And I remember the captain discussion this week, the season, has always been fairly light and fairly quick. And last week, when you and I did this very video, Seb, I think the captaincy discussion for us was probably about 30 seconds, because I think I said outright, straight away, Haaland and not looking elsewhere. Yeah. I was in the privileged position to own Salah, and to have Kane as well always gives me three, on paper, viable options. It does again this week, you could argue, when Kane goes to Bournemouth. But yeah, it's been very easy choices for me. I'm pretty set. I like backing City big in attack, even before Haaland. I've known for doing that over the years. With Haaland there, it's more the same.
Yeah, entirely fair enough. And Zuma, talk to me about Zuma as well. I wasn't watching that match. I checked the scores, and I immediately text Andy, who also had Zuma. And then I log on to do this with you, and you've got Zuma. What is this?
Yeah, I just have always liked Zuma's attacking ability in the opposition box. I often referred to him before of his run-ins with the RSPCA. I used to call him Kurt Hangtime Zuma. Now I call him far, far worse. But unfortunately, I picked based just on potential points, and he's in my FPL team. I did get a bit of stick for that on Twitter. Had a long discussion with my wife on Monday night when I said Zuma's just scored, and she said, "What, he's in your team?" I was like, yeah. I didn't celebrate the goal on Twitter or post about Zuma. I've been pretty as quiet as I can be on him because I don't like the idea that he's in my team, but FPL's kind of my job, and he's in there for points. He's got two home ties coming up after the trip to Old Trafford as well. I'm expecting some clean sheets. I like David Moyes' teams for clean sheets. I often look at managers, so Sam Allardyce teams, Sean Dyche teams, David Moyes teams, and there's centre-backs within those teams always over the years we've gone towards. And Zuma's another one. He's one that's 4.5, and he does offer a bit of goal threat. As I said, hang time Zuma.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've spoken. There's a few decisions here. Obviously, Haaland, Salah, whether you play Bailey or Andreas and whatnot. How this has been a very good week, and it's always easy, I guess, after a good week to go, oh, my process was spot on, brilliant, I'll do it again. But what was that process for you this week? Or generally, how do you go about picking between, you've got some good players on your bench, you've got some good players in your team, there's transfers available to you. How do you sort of approach that?
Yeah, I guess the process a bit this season is centered around that freemium draft, right? What that freemium draft gives me, if I want it, I've got the extra captaincy option. I've not been using it, but it gives me Kane, Salah and Haaland. But it also gives me Kane's points. And sure, we spoke about this last week. Why is Kane in your team if you're not captaining him? It's a valid argument. It's a lot of money to spend on someone you're never given the armband to. But his points have ticked over very, very nicely. But more importantly, the freemium drafts gives me a 10th and 11th player that are in most people's squads. They're on their benches, but for me, they're in my 11 because my squad's a little bit weaker than most, right? Now, I'm happy because at the moment, those budget players, those enablers like Andreas, perhaps even like Kurt Zuma, they're delivering points. It's brilliant that they're in my 11, but for most, they're sub one or sub two, and you're having to see those bench points. For me, I'm always going to be starting an Andreas or a Leon Bailey, for example, if I'm playing this system. And I'm happy with that. And I took that very conscious decision back in game week 8, whenever it was I wildcarded. But even before my wildcard, I started the season with a three-man draft. So I'm happy having those slightly weaker players on as my 10th or 11th player, knowing the potential upside with the freemium. But also this season, those budget players have been delivering. I mean, Andreas, I think, 5 goals, 1 assist. You look at the likes of Almiron, who I've not got, but Amron's 5.3 million. He's the second best performing midfielder in the game. He's the fifth best performing player in the game if you just go off points. The budget players have been delivering. You look now and Iwobi might become an option. You could argue Leon Bailey's becoming an option yet again. At the back, there's loads of 4.5 options. We've been spoiled this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you mentioned Almiron there, and there are a few little Lingard vibes there. And I specifically say Lingard because the thing with Lingard is it wasn't that he didn't deserve to get goals, assists and points. He just didn't deserve that. Or deserve is the wrong word, right? But we didn't expect him to get that many, Nottingham Forest comment there, that many based on the numbers he was putting up and even, you know, where he was playing and how he was involved. It was like, you know, one good involvement a game, one return, which was fine. And I feel like Almiron again, the numbers are decent, the price is lovely, but he really is returning on that at the moment. So, and this leads me into maybe what I was saying about how you're making your decisions here, where I adore your team. You know, the freemium there and Foden, is lovely. Like, Foden could easily perform on par with a KDB, maybe a Salah when he's not quite in his best form. So there's almost four brilliant players there. Obviously, you don't have a Trent, you don't have a Robertson. Maybe that's a little hard to get to. They're not firing at the moment, but if they did, and on the flip side, say Andreas wasn't currently playing brilliantly, which he is, do you think you'd then be in a tougher position? And do you think that would make you feel different about your decision-making process that's led you to this team?
Yeah.
Or not?
My compromise with the 3 million was I was discarding that 8 million mid-slot.
Yeah.
So when I wildcarded, and for a fair few weeks, I missed out on, say, Madison's points or Bowen's points or even Foden's early on. So I had a Trent and I had a Cancelo and I had a Reece James with the 3 million, and it meant my midfield was really, really low. Now, in recent weeks, I've been fortunate enough to be able to get to an 8 million midfielder, but only because I was happy selling Reece James because of the injury and Trent because of his dip. If it wasn't for that, then I wouldn't be able to cover the 8 million mid slot, which was a huge risk when I wildcarded, because again, there are so many good options in that 8 million mid slot. I don't need to list them all. We know them. They're there. And at times this season, I've missed out, as I said, on the Madison Halls or Bowen or Foden. So that was a compromise, but I've been fortunate that those premium defenders, for one way or another, haven't been delivering, and therefore it's made it very easy for me to go, oh, Trossard, yeah, I can boost you to a Foden. I can cover that slot now.
Yeah. And I think with, what, there are 3 weeks left until we all get unlimited transfers.
So I'm staying the same. Yeah.
I think, like, I don't have Trent either, and that does terrify me. I have a route if I need it, but I kind of don't want to spend the money and the points to do it.
Yeah.
And I think I'm clinging on to, even if there are two good fixtures, it's 3 weeks. How badly could it hurt in 3 weeks? Speaking of which, maybe that's a good time to move on to your team and speak about how badly Haaland can hurt us again, and by us, I mean me, this coming week. So why don't you read through your team for us firstly, and then we'll have a little chat.
Yeah, potentially it hits me as well. I'm still not set on captaincy, but at the moment I've gone double Newcastle defence with Pope and Trippier. I am, again, this is going back to what we've just said, my 11th best player in my team is Bueno, a 3.9 defender at Wolves. I'm having to start him. Away at Brentford, he may not even start. He started the last two, but they did just concede 4 goals to Leicester. So it's Pope, Bueno, Trippier, Cancelo. The midfield picks itself with Martinelli, Andreas, Foden and Salah. Haaland, Kane, Mitrovic again up top. I do have Leon Bailey first sub. If Haaland doesn't play, I'm happy with Bailey coming in. I think that's a better first sub than probably most will have this week. But again, if I don't have Bueno playing, then I'm having to start a Kurt Zouma away at Old Trafford or a Nico Williams away at Arsenal. So again, good threemium there. Lots of avenues to points in the first 5-6 names on the team sheet. But you look at player number, you could arguably say 10 and 11 and go, oh, okay, it could be better. But again, I'm happy with that. I know the risks. So yeah, that's where I am. Haaland, of course, is flagged. He could punish me if I do take the armband off him. I'm still waiting for things like Pep's quotes. I say that with a pinch of salt because I don't think we're going to get much. Training photos will be a bit good indicator if we get them.
Well, we had some recovery ones, didn't we, where he was looking...
Yeah, in the pool.
He was looking positively gorgeous with his mane in the pool, wasn't he?
But then he limped out the building. We've seen the video of him limping out the building.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he did that because he knew the cameras were there.
I love that.
Personally, I think he'll be okay. But I think, pardon me, just for the Haaland captain, Salah captain decision and conversation again, I'm a Leeds fan, so yeah, I went Salah last week, and if I weren't a Leeds fan, I probably would go Haaland, all things equal, this week. But sorry, I've just seen a comment that's put me off completely. Turtleneck, just for you, men's style. That's convenient. So yeah, I think for me, Salah this week, it's Leeds at home. I'm a Leeds fan. It's scary. And for you know, maybe only one of two times a season, I will emotionally hedge myself here, I think, and maybe go Salah, given I think it is relatively 50-50 again. Now, I know people who only play FPL or only watch the Premier League might go, of course, it's not 50-50. Haaland smashing him. But look at the Champions League in midweek. Of course, Haaland did go off injured at half-time, but they still didn't score a goal, and I think they didn't quite look up to it. Whereas Salah did very well. If that happened at the weekend, I think the conversation's a bit different, and we need to be careful of outcome bias there. However, all of that said, Haaland is currently yellow flagged. So say they were both fit, how set are you on Haaland, or can Salah tempt you with a Darwin Firmino front three?
Honestly, if Haaland wasn't flagged, I'd be telling you now, just like last week, I'm absolutely 100% sold on captaining Haaland. And it's weird for me saying this, because I feel like I'm often one of those content creators that often is trying to look at small gains in other areas, but I am so sold by Haaland that I've been proper boring the last few months. It's on Haaland, and if I think he's going to start, I'll captain him. If I don't think he's going to start, then I won't.
Yeah.
But all I need is a slight, yeah, I think he does, and that's enough for me. And I think he probably will. So yeah, at the moment the armband's there, I'm not even looking elsewhere.
Fair. And if, I mean, you've got the vice on Kane.
Yeah.
So if Haaland is out, either confirmed or we, I mean, you know, Pep lies, right? But just say you get enough information that you're not captaining Haaland.
Mm-hmm.
You may even still start him just for the lack of that. But would you then captain Kane, or is Salah coming into the conversation?
Yeah, if I didn't think I was starting, I'd definitely still start Haaland because, you know, you might get 10 minutes, they might need him. But no, this team was put together before Wednesday night Champions League fixtures. So having seen what Salah did to Ajax and where he played, down, he was the most advanced player in a front two pretty much. If you look at the heat maps, the average position maps, it almost looks like a 4-4-2 with Bobby Firmino in a midfield like two or three. And yeah, Harry Kane, Spurs again were really flat until the 83rd minute when they equalised, and then the last 10 it was all Spurs. But Spurs were really disappointing. And again, if that was a home tie to Harry Kane, Bournemouth, the visiting team, maybe I'd look at it. But no, it will be Salah vice captain, or Salah captain if I think Haaland's not going to make it.
How much emphasis do you place on those last few matches? So you just, in your answer there, you mentioned both Kane and Salah, how they played, how their teams played in the last match in the Champions League midweek. Would your mind be significantly changed if Salah had blanked again, or if he'd scored even two more goals? And same for Kane. Like, how much do you put on that?
I put loads on the team's performance rather than the individual. Salah, I know, is a class act, right? Like, I know that's a player that will come good. And I know, I guess I trust the numbers over a period of time. History tells us that he'll deliver. But if the team are really flat, or the team aren't playing well, the team aren't scoring goals, let's say Liverpool, it was a 0-0 versus Ajax and their XG was super low, then yeah, I'd be going, oh, okay, maybe Kane, because his XG was much higher in the game against Lisbon. But the individual, I back regardless of form or the last few games, but the team I'm massively always looking at. A bit like my transfers, I often identify the team I want to target before the player. I don't think everyone necessarily does think like that, but I always do, especially with those sort of mid to lower table teams. Yeah. For example, you'll see I've got two Fulham players in my 11. Not many, or many might look at that and go, oh, two Fulham players, that's risky. When you look at the numbers, Fulham are a really attacking team that score lots of goals. I'm happy having two Fulham, especially at the Cottage.
I think that's an interesting process question, because for me, FPL is a game of individuals. Now,
yeah,
of course,
I know it is.
The
You've
individual intrinsically, the team is involved. Like, you know, I'm not picking Salah in the same way if he plays for, well, Leeds. But I'm not necessarily picking Salah because Liverpool are good. I'm picking Salah because Salah is good. Likewise, Andreas and Mitrovic. You know, Mitrovic is just a machine, and Andreas, for the price, for his output, is great. In neither of those decisions have I considered really Fulham, other than where it's intrinsically involved that, you know, Mitrovic is the nailed on nine, of course. But for example, if Mitrovic was injured, I wouldn't necessarily go and get his replacement at Fulham. So I maybe veer towards the other side of that. Does that change? I'm trying to, not trying to convince you here, but does that change how you'd think of it? Or do you think there's somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, I think a lot probably do think like you said, and for all the right reasons, I'm sure. But I often will go, who's the replacement? I am the opposite. Mm. So, you know, let's say Haaland's injured. It's like, oh, should I go Alvarez for 1 week? Because I think he's going to start. And
well,
I kind of
think that's a different, because Man City are so good. And yeah. Alvarez, you know, his individual stock then rises because he's the nine for the best team in the country, and he's a good striker. Yeah. But point taken, right? I just said I wouldn't look at Fulham striker. You've told me you'd look at City striker. So yeah, fair.
Yeah. I guess I used to manage in a way where I was an extreme version of team only. And now I'm probably halfway between, if I'm completely honest. So I look at my defence and you'll see Trippier in there. I remember when I was a casual 7-8 years ago, I'd go, Newcastle defenders. I want a Newcastle defender. I can get Dan Burn for 4.5, or I can spend more than $1 million and get Trippier. Why would I do that? Sure, yeah. Trippier might get one or two assists, but you know, is that really worth the extra million? But then when you look into the numbers, as I now do as a manager, and go, oh, no, Trippier, oh, look at the bonus points, look at the guaranteed minutes, look at the goal threat and the XA, and you go, okay, he's definitely worth the million on Dan Burn. But before I'd go, I'm covering the same defence, I'm getting the same 6 points from a clean sheet with 90 minutes, let's just pick Dan Burn. And I always used to save money by doing that, and it's like, no, that's not the way to manage.
Yeah, I feel you. It's the classic Kante, right? You know, you play FPL for the first season, you pick Kante. I remember, it might have been a long time ago, maybe my third season, something like that. Phil Neville had just had a brilliant season for Everton.
I remember
he was
that.
Listed as a defender, but he played in midfield like a DM.
DM, yeah.
But he got a few assists, maybe a few goals. But he was a defender who was getting all these points by a midfielder, a cheap one, because he was getting the clean sheets. The following season, he was switched to a midfielder. And I don't remember where he played, but that didn't matter. He was one of the most picked players in the game and got almost no points because he lost all his clean sheets. It feels a little bit like that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I remember that well as well. Was he on pens?
Phil Neville?
Did he have a season on pens?
No, sure.
That season,
one of us is going to sound very silly here. I'm saying
no. That season, we got loads of points at Everton. It was his first season.
This is why we're doing this live, chat. Someone find out if Phil Neville has ever taken a penalty consistently and laugh at one of us. I'm going no.
Yeah, I can't picture it. And I always remember those years we probably, would we have seen at Everton on pens?
I mean, Leighton Baines was probably after that Phil Neville time, I think.
Was Arteta on pens?
Yes, I say with a question mark.
Arteta and Cahill were on pens, as Nick.
I don't remember Cahill taking pens. Was he maybe
Arteta's loved Cahill.
Backup? Yeah.
He's good in the air. He's like 5'10", the best header of a footballer going. Like.
Cahill would have been one of those that if FPL was as prevalent then as it is now, or if, you know, it was, you know, if he was playing now and we had all the numbers, I probably would have avoided him. Because I'm guessing the way he played and the goals he scored just didn't show up that well on the numbers that I like to use.
Probably Amron this season, where you go, oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Amron's a good price. Like, if I need that, I'll go there. I've had triple Newcastle. But yeah, it's something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And good times.
Michu's the famous one. I want to know what I would have done there if I could have seen his XG.
Oh, Michu, yeah. Probably that first season he had was something like 16 Premier League goals.
Yeah, it was nuts. So, right, we don't have your transfers, number of transfers, or your money in the bank on the screen here. So share that and talk about plans.
We don't have a lot of money. I think we're on naught yet. We're on 0.0.
We? Don't bring me into this, mate. I'm still just ahead of you, right? It can be we when you're ahead of me.
Yeah. We also don't have transfers. I have one single transfer and no money in the bank. And I genuinely don't think I can do anything with a single transfer at the moment. Yeah. I look at my team and there is nothing I can change within one single swap. I could sell Zuma for a better defender, but I want him for the next two.
Yeah.
I could sell Bueno for a better defender. No, I couldn't because he's 3.9.
That would effectively just be burning a transfer too, because then you're probably benching that player.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. If I really did, if I went and got, a better player for Zuma, so, oh, great. I have to then bench whoever. Or if Leon Bailey comes in and Andreas is on the bench. So, yeah, I do not have... If you think of any moves, guys, I'm all ears. I'm going to be left with two transfers next week where I can be a bit more creative. Maybe I sell Salah. Maybe I sell Kane. They play each other. Mm-hmm. Maybe I keep them both and do something else. But having the two frees, which will give me 2 week punts. Remember, we only have 2 weeks left after this one before the World Cup and that unlimited transfers chip. I think will be quite nice going into that with the two frees. I might consider selling Mitrovic, who I think goes to City. But then he has United at Craven Cottage, which is a fixture I quite like for them. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one because I am quite married to a lot of these players. They've served me so well and I haven't been moving things around in recent weeks. Formation stayed the same. The three-man draft with the cheapos still getting in 11 has stayed the same. And I kind of trust them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you mentioned Bueno there. Yeah, sure, it's a weak link. But you could almost say that if Kane goes and scores a goal, you can give 30% of that to Bueno because he enabled it, if you want to play that game. I like rolling with this team. And I like the idea of them being able to do something like Kane to Scamacca and maybe Bueno or whatever it is up to like a Trent. The Mitrovic one makes sense to me as well. Maybe you're then benching Andreas for one of your bench players. But I definitely think roll. I can't see much else there. There's Pope to consider as well in the last week. I forget the fixture, but he has a tough 16, right?
Yeah, I think Newcastle fixtures, it's Chelsea. So
okay.
he goes to St Mary's in 15 and then he's at home to Chelsea, which Chelsea on the road under Potter, not a huge amount of goals in that team.
Well, what do you make of Potter so far then? You're a Chelsea fan. And I love Potter, but it's only been a short time at Chelsea.
I loved him as well. I say loved. He's still an excellent manager. I love how he thinks. He's unique. And I think he deserves a crack at a big job. As a fan, I've been watching Chelsea recently and gone, less pretty passing, more big chances created, please. Because we just haven't been creating enough big chances. But then you go and see us in the Champions League on Tuesday night. We combined both those things. We had lots of pretty passing, some amazing passing out from the back, which led to some really big chances created. And actually, Chelsea should have scored way more. It was an amazing goal from Havertz. The Kovacic goal was beaut as well. But Aubameyang and Sterling, they're missing big chances too. I do like my teams to be a little bit more settled than a Potter team in terms of who's playing week in, week out. From those 11 players, two or three of them, you know, are absolutely first choice any fixture if they're fit. Mason Mount is one, Thiago Silva another when he's fit. But there's very few, and I just think the team sometimes loses out when they're not playing with the same faces week in, week out. Sterling, for example, and Mason Mount, they've played like five different positions in the last month.
Yeah.
Like, give these guys, they can do it. They can do it, but I don't think it's my preferred choice. I want these players having set positions with teammates. They know where they are at all times. Yeah. And at the moment, we're not quite seeing that. Maybe that will improve. But I also see the other side of the coin. It's good for the squad. Everyone knows they've got a chance of getting a start. Pulisic played wing back the other night. It was brilliant.
And I mean, it's Potter, right? You are never, famous last words, but you are never going to get a set 11 in a set shape. I know he did start the season with Brighton with, was it four or five 11s the same in a row?
Oh, did he? Okay. But you didn't have all those great players.
Well, exactly. And he has changed it up for Brighton in the past. We know the type of manager he is he will, and this is why I like him so much, right? He will, was it, who did he sub off? Was it, was it against Man United?
After half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. I adore that. I mean, you know, there's a
he went to the back four. Yeah, he saw it straight away.
And that's for me, like, you know, you could say, well, shouldn't he have seen that before the match and set up better? Maybe he should have done. But what's the second best thing? Taking 30 minutes to realise it's not working. How often do we criticise managers for that? And effectively fixing it. I think then Chelsea were probably the better team for the next half hour, 60. Yeah. Not an unfair result in the end. But And that's what I love to see in a manager, someone who can identify a problem and fix it. However, for FPL, what that means is your Cucurella could get subbed after 30 minutes, Sterling could play wing back, and you don't know who's going to play up front.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a problem. I miss Reece James, if I'm honest.
Oh, so miss Reece James. He's he's Chelsea's best footballer. Like, Reece James could play any position.
And, five aside, him, Sterling, Mount, Jorginho, who you take?
Oh. They would be my. They'd be four. They'd all. I don't know if Sterling would be in five aside, but Mount, Jorginho, and Reece. Yeah, these players have all got time on the ball, which would be great.
Sterling would absolutely bang in five aside. The way he moves with the ball in that confined spaces, you couldn't take it off him.
Are we going off the wall or not off the wall? Because that would change it.
What, you're going to push him into the wall or the ball?
It's just when you play off the wall five aside, it's so physical. So I don't know if I'd want, but without.
But then that's one of those things about professional footballers where you go, oh, it's so physical. And then you look at people bouncing off Lionel Messi. It's not about how big your shoulders are. It's how good your core is and your center of gravity and your balance.
True. And Sterling's a strong lad. We definitely miss Reece. Definitely miss Reece. And the management question over changing after half an hour, Seb, like, I was a massive fan of that. So many managers would have gone in at half time and then changed it. And they'd have gone in 1-0 down. United were absolutely going to score. If you do not make that substitution or that system, that formation change, it's not 0-0 for long. So fair play. When do we ever see managers with tactical subs after 28 minutes or whatever it was?
Literally.
Just don't. Just you see it at half time and go, wow, that's amazing. Well done for going so early. Yeah. This guy went at half an hour.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that the guy took off was the player who knows him well. And I just wondered if he thought there's a few egos I could upset here. And Cucurella, I mean, it made sense for it to be a defender. It made sense for it to be Chilwell or Cucurella. And yeah, I thought that was quite funny that it was Cucurella, who was absolutely fine and, of course, smiled on his way out.
I mean, I'm sure tactically it made most sense as well. But like you say, if he's got to explain it to one of them after the match, is it the guy he's been working with for a year?
Yeah.
Or is it Chilwell who's like, I'll come now?
Yeah. I thought Chilwell would have made sense a little bit more tactically just because we know Cucurella can do both roles and United were so good in attack, especially down that right-hand side. Yeah. And I was thinking, okay, yeah, play Cucurella in the back four, Chilwell in the back four. No one's ever really that safe with him.
So
it was good.
Talk to me about Man United then. I am potentially considering Rashford at some point, which I didn't think I would be doing. And I think one of the reasons, other than, yes, we have seen it start to work a little bit, but I think it's about when it works and how it works. Ignore the beginning of the season, if you like. You know, Brentford very much did a job on them. What Man United have been good at for a number of years is effectively, for want of a better phrase, the counter-attack, right? They've got some very good individuals who suit that style of play. Maybe Mourinho set them up in such a way that it's held on for a while as well. Solskjaer was fine. When it worked, it was because he allowed his players to attack with a rhythm and whatnot. But to do that, you need the opposition to allow it. I think that's what Brentford did. They just suffocated that and found ways to stop it. Whereas other teams, well, when I say allow it, I don't mean they've just rolled over, but their styles have matched up in such a way that it's worked for Man United. What Ten Hag is obviously trying to do is work on the other side of that, when they are expected to enforce their own personality on a game or play a team that aren't so agreeable. And I think that's what we're starting to see. But the reason I like Rashford is it does look like he's maybe up front, or at least going to be involved in the team at a good price, a midfielder in FPL. And the last few matches before the World Cup, I think, are more agreeable stylistically.
Do you? I don't love the fixtures. I think the Rashford pick makes complete sense. Out of position, the number nine. Ronaldo's not starting any of those three. Martial's injured. I get it. And look, from December the 27th, game week 17, the fixtures are really nice for Rashford. But have United bought a striker by then? Probably. Maybe not by then, but they're buying in January. So they play Forest and Bournemouth in 17 and 19, both at Old Trafford. I like both those fixtures. Yep. West Ham, I don't like in 14. I think Moyes concedes, I go back to the manager here, Moyes concedes one or two worst case scenario. And then game week 15 and 16 are two aways. And a lot of teams, by the way, have two homes in 15 and 16. If you're into your home and aways, do check that out. If you're looking at 2 week punts, there's a fair few teams that have got two homes, as I said. So it's two aways. Now, Villa with the new manager, and then Fulham at the Cottage are always good. That's an okay fix. That's Rashford's best fixture, I think, at the moment. Hmm. But I'm not in love with any of them. Definitely not in 14 anyway. I don't mind the Rashford punt from 15, I guess. But the lack of composure, though, Seb. I know we shouldn't pick players based on what their technique is or how good they actually are at football. We're picking them purely from FPL. The good thing about FPL with Rashford is we know he's in a team that will create a bit. In recent weeks, they've really started to. Against Spurs, tons of chances. Against Chelsea, even a load early on. But geez, the lack of composure. This guy hits the ball so well from 30 yards with a free kick. When he's through on goal from a 5-yard tap-in or a 1-on-1, he hits the ball in exactly the same way. Why? Why? Now, that's no reason not to pick him in FPL, but he's so frustrating that I can't go there. Also, he's not going away with England. United fans telling me he's going to get a call up. I'll eat my hat if Rashford goes with England. And they've got a 26-man squad.
I would not be surprised. He's a favourite.
He's not made the last few squads. Oh. And Southgate wants rhythm.
Right, you know what? If we do another one of these, not today, but if we do another one of these before the World Cup, we'll have a chat about what our England squad would be.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be well up for that.
So is there anything else then here with your team that you'd love to cover before we move on?
No,
any
you
decisions?
Should never have got me onto Man United, mate.
I think you've been very polite. What about Bukayo Saka? Is he? You've got Martinelli. Is he in your thinking at all?
I'm jealous of all those that can go there because there's loads of Bowen and Zaha sellers to Saka this week. And guys, as you're watching this live, Saka's rested for Arsenal against PSV. Ooh. So again, really good sign there. I'm jealous of those that can move to Saka. I can't get there. I'm not selling Salah or Foden, obviously. But I think Saka's a really nice pick this week. Although Forest defensively have been so much better. They just kept clean sheets against, is it Brighton and Liverpool the last two? So they're improving, but it's a nice fixture for them.
Worth noting, I think they've conceded about 2 XG in both those games.
Have they?
Fine, small sample and et cetera, et cetera. But just a caveat to that. Fair enough. Okay, I think we will move on to your Fantasy 5. Oh, I say your, might be Az's, right? Team for this upcoming week.
Great. Az and I have agreed to compete, like always have this as a split pot. We share the prize. We go to Vegas. I'm hoping he'll still share with me this week, even though we've not done the stream together. And it is technically Az's entry, not mine. The five names. We've split these. As always, we're looking at attacking players. We always seem to in Fantasy 5. You can pick defenders. And remember, you've got to beat the points target on show. So we've gone for a few of the big names, Kane and Salah. We've spoken about the fixtures being good for these guys, which is why they're captaincy options in FPL. Kane, I'm not so confident on. And look, the points targets are huge. 9.5 for Kane, 10.5 for Salah. Mm. But let's go there. Mitrovic is an interesting one. 6.5 seems like good value, knowing he's at the Cottage. And Everton, for as good as they've been in the last couple of weeks, I still feel like they're a team that can get bullied. They go down 1-0 early, and I think Fulham could get a couple. So I really like that pick, that Mitro pick. I'm a little bit unsure about Mitrovic's fitness status at the moment. He came off at like 80 minutes the other day. And I think he was asked at halftime, are you good to carry on? And he said, it was, yeah. But we know he's had a knock from when he was last on international duty. We also know he's about to go into a World Cup where he's one of Serbia's main men. And they're a really good squad at the moment, mm-hmm. Serbia. And I just wonder if come game week 15, 16, he's a little bit more cautious, but he'll want to do well against City and Man United and show those teams he can perform against them. So, yeah, I don't know what to think about Mitrovic after this game week. As an owner in FPL, I am thinking, do I sell him to a Wilson or a Calvert-Lewin or a Scamacca? And then Saka with the week off midweek, not playing against PSV. That's brilliant. 8.5, we have the penalty appeal. We know what we get with Saka. Does feel like he's worth the extra money on Martinelli now in FPL as well. And his points target in Fantasy 5 is usually higher than Martinelli's, and that's fair. And then Downs as well for West Ham is getting some game time with Paqueta out. Super low target. And we spoke last week about sometimes you get super low targets for players because they're not always considered first 11. Well, Downs should start and at 4.5, you know, you just need one return.
Can you do that with an assist?
Yeah, three assists and then you get the 2 points.
Okay. Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Cool. So, other than to say good luck with that, I think just before we sign off, because we're doing this one live, why don't we ask the chat if they've got any questions for you about, nice. You know, about their team this week, about Italy's World Cup chances, about, sorry, what? I mean, you can say no, but we are live, so everyone will know that you hate them. Yeah. You up for that?
I'm well up for that. I love sort of glancing at the chat, and I've not been able to react too much on the chat because we've been so busy chatting, me especially, Seb. Sorry about that.
Your name is on the title, my friend.
And I did have a good week, so I've got a good start on it.
Yeah, and I feel like you haven't dwelled on that enough. Well, how many points did you get?
So it was 82 minus 4.
so you know, last week...
50k game week rank, sorry.
I know, that's nuts.
I don't think I've ever... I don't check game week ranks because I'm like, bleh. Yeah. But I obviously checked this week because I was like, I'm really interested. Yeah. And I was looking back through my season, it's usually sort of 1 million, 2 million. Yeah. And I was thinking, would I ever have come anywhere near to 50k? Possibly with a chip, but certainly not without
it. You've got to beat all the people who are randomly bench boosting this week. And yeah, it's impressive. Yeah. And I know we don't have my rank on the screen, as we discussed last week, right? Mine's about 120k or something. You were what? Double what you are right now?
I was like 30 points off you. Now I'm 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, but I think we may have even discussed how it's just one good decision or one bad one on my part. Yeah. So we're basically the same place. And I probably prefer your squad, my friend. So I would not be surprised if this reversed, which would probably mean we don't do this again. So
you're going to captain Salah and I'm probably going to captain Haaland. So it will come down to captaincy.
Maybe we'll see. Okay. So speaking of that, then I'll go through some questions. I'll grab some for you. So first one, Jack Tier 26 says Son or Salah captain. So I'm assuming no Haaland there, or he thinks Haaland is injured.
I wouldn't touch Son. I'd consider Kane. I wouldn't. Look, Son's had one double digit haul all season, and it was when he came on as the sub and scored that hat trick. It was like, what was it? The 18 pointer. I don't even think he's hit 10. I don't think he's had any double digit returns outside of that one appearance in the second half. Watching Spurs last night, as I did, so flat, Son. He just looks like a shadow of himself. His biggest return this season is 6 against Brighton in game week 10, outside of the 19 you got in game week 8.
Yeah. So you just need another hat trick and you're laughing. Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, if you don't have Kane, you're probably not looking there. His underlyings are down as well. We have a super chat question here, which says, hi, I have 2 free transfers. I have Martinelli, want 2 attack for Forest, so 2 Arsenal attackers. Thinking Bowen or Firmino for Saka or Jesus. Mm. I also have Salah, Foden, in brackets, Andreas. So I'm guessing that's maybe on the bench. Haaland or Mitro. Can't afford Darwin. So it sounds like the question here is want to beef up the Arsenal attack.
Yeah.
Could do Bowen to Saka, Firmino to Jesus, or there are some other options in Salah, Foden, Haaland and Mitro. What would you do there? Darwin is not on the table.
Yeah, I'd rather sell Firmino, but I wouldn't want Jesus as much as I'd want Saka. So I think it would be Bowen to Saka. Yep. And look, I'm a fan of West Ham defence, as I mentioned, and I don't mind the fixtures. I think after United, it's homes against Crystal Palace and Leicester. But look, if you've got two frees, you could use your one free. You can always go back or look, leave it open to get a Bowen, not necessarily for Saka, but leave a West Ham attacker open for you if you want to go back there. But for the Old Trafford visit, I'd be very happy selling Jared Bowen.
And worth noting, he may well be off penalties now, which is a big part of the appeal.
Yeah, and look, Benrahma's great at pens if he's on the pitch. We've seen Rice miss pens. We've seen Bowen missing pens. Yeah.
So we have Nick N and FPL Come On You Spurs. Both ask Tony, well, one says Tony to Darwin and one says Tony or Darwin. So firstly, would you move Tony to Darwin? And I guess that's the same question as which one would you rather have?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Darwin fan in FPL just because I like the fact he's a hogger of big chances. Yeah, I saw some clips from last night. I was watching the goal show, so I wasn't watching live, but he will miss big chances, but the fixture's great for him. I don't mind that move at all. If you've got money in the bank to go Tony to Darwin, it's a good option. I was this close to doing Kane to Darwin last week. Fortunately, I didn't because Kane delivered and Darwin, of course, was injured. But I was super, super close. I'm not looking to do that move this week purely because I like Kane's fixture. But if Kane had a difficult fixture, I'd almost certainly be making that move again. Like, I like it a lot. Also do consider, though, Tony's fixtures aren't bad either. Wolves and Forest up next. I wouldn't be looking to sell him, but if you're committed to that, then Darwin's a good option.
Fair. I think at some point, Darwin is in all our teams. Whether it's soon, whether it's in a season's time or something. I know there's jokes about his ball control and everything, and yeah, it is pretty funny. But he is a monster at getting chances, like scary. If Liverpool click and he starts consistently up front, there's a real gift there, I think.
His non-penalty XG per 90, when I read the stat last week, was higher than anyone's in the league. That's higher than Haaland's.
It was.
Haaland's. More touches in the box than Haaland.
So
it was up on a fair few stats.
Yeah, if people who had had like good enough minutes, he was above Haaland and Haaland was second, Jesus was third.
It was 200 minutes plus, wasn't it? I think that's
something like that. But a lot of data providers were cutting Darwin off because obviously the minutes for everyone else have risen and his haven't. So he isn't always appearing on those anymore. But I think for me, yeah, you would expect it to drop. He has a higher assist potential so far than Haaland too. Very small sample. But I would expect it to drop. But it's like a bit like, you know, the reverse of that Lingard thing. If he's currently having like, what is it, like nearly 1.2 XGI, so XG and XA per 90, if that drops to 1 or 0.8, it's still brilliant. So he's got a long way to go before he's a bad option. Just needs to finish them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a question. I've lost who asked this. I'm so sorry, but there was Perisic to Gabriel or Roll.
Oh, I'd probably be rolling. Perisic did play in the week. I still think he can play. We shouldn't look at Perisic and say just because he played in the week and we benched the weekend. Yes, Sessegnon's an option. But remember, Perisic is also an option to play right wing back. And I don't think Conte, I know Conte is not sold on either right wing back to the point where he'll still consider Perisic there. If he's allowed to, Conte is definitely buying a wing back in January. I just don't know if he's going to be given the budget to do so, but that Perisic is the best of the five that play. I include Jed Spence in as fifth, despite him not getting any minutes. And it was Perisic last night that was putting the crosses in that actually made it look like they were going to win the game. I'd stick with him. I wouldn't be surprised to see Arsenal concede either. That Arsenal defence should be really good. It's controlling games, but they are conceding a lot of one-goal games.
Yep, fair enough. And yeah, I mean, Conte, I think me and you even a year ago discussed that, was it if Newcastle got him, give him two seasons and all the money in the world, and it, you know, obviously, and he would win the league. Tottenham felt similar, but maybe we're a little bit wrong. Is it going stale there?
I just don't think he's been given what he needs. And the system Conte plays, he needs money to spend in the wing-back areas or already huge talent at the club. And he got given Jed Spence. He came out and said he didn't want him. He said he's not ready. And he was given a bit of money to go get Perisic in terms of probably quite high wages. But this system, and this is a guy that is fixed to this system pretty much if you take the last 5 years of his management, he needs wing backs, and he needs wing backs that are decent. And he's really got very, very average players there. Emerson Royale is a very average, limited player. I'd argue Doherty is the same. Sessegnon, maybe there's something there with the right coaching, but yeah, the system is built for the wingbacks to be the game changers. Look at his Inter team. And he doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it. I'm surprised they didn't go and get Adama Traore. I thought he could have converted even him to a wingback with excitement. I know Adama's final ball is poor. You don't necessarily need great final balls with Conte. You just need to be spark. Yeah. You need to have a spark. You need to have an X factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have it.
Adama Traore instinctively doesn't feel like that one for me. But then if you'd ask me if Ashley Young, Victor Moses, all of those people would, you know, who I traditionally wouldn't see as a Conte wingback, excelled. So, yep. I mean, Ashley Young was brilliant for him. So, yeah, fair enough. Would you like to pick a question out of the chat before we go? If not, I have one more for you.
Okay. Let's go for Ben that asked about Anthony and Bowen. So what do you reckon, Seb? I'm going to ask you about Anthony. I'm going to ask you because I get clouded with United. And you've mentioned Rashford already as someone you're looking at. Now, I know Rashford is cheaper than Anthony, but let's say this is for a longer term investment. And I know we've got unlimited transfers, but with price rises and stuff, Anthony could be someone you want to commit to in that United attack. He's clearly a favourite. All the others came off against Chelsea and Anthony stayed on.
I guess the argument would be Man United sign a striker or Martial is fit and we know that Rashford isn't safe. That's probably the scenario where you look elsewhere. Yeah. In that case, I'm clearly not doing it before the World Cup and I think Rashford makes more sense to me for that period. Longer term, I would consider it. From a real life perspective, he is a talented player. Of course they overpaid, but it's Man United. They always overpay and it was, you know, Ajax didn't want to sell. He was Ten Hag's guy. They could just name their price and they did and Man United said yes. Such is the way of being Man United. But Anthony is still a very good player. The interesting thing is he is so unreasonably left-footed. Like he has...
Iron Robin.
Yeah, that's the one. If he's going to be, maybe not as good as Iron Robin, but if he's going to be good enough, it's not a problem. But right now, it's all he has. And when it comes off, it's brilliant, but it is all
he has. It was funny against Chelsea. He's just refusing to cross with his right foot. And then that he was through on goal with his right foot and he just hit the ball straight.
Yeah.
he was such a bad swinger.
But the reason I mention that is like, that almost doesn't matter for FPL. Like, that's interesting. I love talking about that stuff. For FPL, it doesn't matter how good his left foot is if he uses it to score goals. So,
same as Rashford hitting the ball with me. It shouldn't matter, but it affects me.
So I think I would, but I'd give myself some time to think about it. How about you?
Yeah, I just look at the money and go, look, Rashford. But I do think Rashford's place will be massively at risk come January. And then we know Anthony simply won't be. He's clearly Ten Hag's boy. To the point where, I don't know. I don't know if that will hinder United at all. We're only going to see Sancho now on the left. Maybe that's a good thing, but we've seen him do well in years gone by on the right. And... yeah, Anthony, for as good as he is meant to be and as much as he cost, I still question the fact he's never done it in a big league and he doesn't get picked for Brazil. And when you look at that Brazil team and no, he doesn't get anywhere near, well, Rafinha was half the price of Anthony and starts for Brazil. Yeah. Same position.
Fair. You mentioned Rafinha, so I'm on board. I didn't listen to anything else you said. I just agree with you because you said Rafinha.
Mate, that Brazil World Cup team, we should just mention, guys, you'll all be getting very excited for the World Cup and Scout's going to have loads of content, I'm sure, about the fantasy game in the World Cup. The Brazil front five is likely to be, right, let's just go front three. Vinny Jr. on the left, Rafinha on the right. The number nine is probably going to be Richarlison. Strange, maybe, but that's who they like over Jesus. And then two number eights behind that, if you go after the last friendly, of Neymar and Paqueta. Yeah. That front five is so much fun. Yeah.
And then you're like, how does that work? Oh, hi, Casemiro, fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, we mentioned this last time, didn't we? I think they'd probably be my pick before I had more information. My last question for you. You only get to answer with a single word because I think it'll be fun if you don't have to explain this. You are not allowed to captain Salah, Kane or Haaland this week. Who do you captain?
I captain Foden.
Okay. Gianni, it has been lovely doing this with you. Hopefully we get to do it again. Hopefully when I have a better score than you, because frankly, I'm kidding. I love seeing you happy. I hope everyone has enjoyed seeing Gianni happy as well. I've really, really enjoyed this chat. So same time next week, I believe.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. See you later.
See you later.